Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order at 2:01 p.m. on Wednesday, April 23rd. We are in Belt's Room 105 of the Thomas Stewart Building in the nation's most beautiful capital city of Juneau, Alaska. Today is Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. Members present are Senator Dunbar, Senator Young, Senator Ray Jackson, myself, Senator Merrick. Our esteemed chairman is out on other state business. Welcome, everyone, to Senate Labor and Commerce. Please silence or turn off your cell phones. I would like to extend an exceptionally warm welcome to our recording secretary, Carrie Tupo, and LIO moderator, Doug Bridges. We have two bills on our agenda today. The first is Senate Bill 103, CNA Training, and then Senate Bill 49, Workplace Violence Protective Orders. First up, Senate Bill 103, CNA Training. With us today for a presentation of the bill, we have the sponsor, the Honorable Elvie Gray Jackson, and her staff, who is not Clark Bickford. Senator Gray Jackson, thank you for being here. If you could introduce yourself for the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Gray Jackson, representing District G in Anchorage. First, I want to thank you, Madam Chair, and the committee for hearing my bill. I'm here with my staff, Deirdre Goines, and I'm going to begin. Currently in Alaska, certified nurses, also referred to as CNAs, go through training programs that meet federal and state standards. But we've heard a growing recognition that these standards need to evolve to reflect the increasing complexities of patient care in Alaska. Our population is aging, and our CNAs are relied on to be well-trained, not only in physical care, but also in emotional and cognitive support. One area for improved training would be dementia and Alzheimer's care, client communication, and recognizing the psychosocial and emotional needs of patients experiencing these conditions. These symptoms are being overlooked because we are not properly training our nurse aides to identify the symptoms sooner. This bill before us today would strengthen training requirements to ensure that all certified nurse aides in our state are equipped with the necessary skills to provide high-quality, compassionate care. Enhancing training standards is the least that we can do for our aging population in Alaska. Most, if not all of us, have experienced the terrors of Alzheimer's and dementia firsthand, and by modernizing training requirements, Senate Bill 103 will help build a more skilled workforce, which will in turn improve patient outcomes and ensure that Alaskans receive the highest level of care. There are many states across the country that are implementing laws requiring dementia and Alzheimer's training for certified nurse assistants, and SB 103 would align Alaska with those high-quality standards of patient care. My staff, Deirdre Goines, she will now go over the sectional analysis, if you'd like, Madam Chair.
Ms. Goines.
Good afternoon, through the chair, members of the committee. My name is Deirdre Goines, for the record. I will briefly go over the sectional analysis for SB 103. Section 1 adds a new section to Alaska Statute 868.331. Regulations adopted in this section of establishing standards for a certified nursing aide training program must require that the program be conducted in a manner that ensures clients receive safe and competent care and train certified nursing aides to do the following: form a relationship and interact competently with the client, demonstrate sensitivity to the emotional and mental health needs of the client, assist client in reaching and maintaining independence, demonstrate the skills of observing and monitoring during caregiving, as well as reporting those observations to enable assessment by healthcare providers and the well-being of the client. Use problem-solving approach when providing care. Use techniques that ensure and preserve respect, values, and dignity of clients. Demonstrate knowledge of client assessment. Use effective communication skills. Provide care to a client who's cognitively impaired or has a decline related to dementia. And finally, to demonstrate the basic knowledge of Alzheimer's disease, dementia, and behaviors related to Alzheimer's and dementia. And Section 2 sets the effective date as January 1, 2026, giving the department some time to implement the practices. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? Seeing none, we have invited testimony today. With us, we have Kay Papacristo. brief at ease. Back on the record at 2:07 p.m. Next, we will have Maureen Townsend. Ms. Townsend, welcome to Senate Labor and Commerce. If you could place yourself on the record and begin your testimony. Thank you for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Maureen Townsend. I'm calling from Soldotna. This is a subject that is important to me due to my own experience training as a CNA, followed by my clinical experience within the dementia wing. Despite my training in college and my prior experience as a PCA, I was not prepared for working with a dementia patient. You see, I had always had a fear of losing my memory and losing my sense of self. This was something I had shared with my class, which prompted my instructor to actually put me in the dementia wing for my clinicals. Though some of the residents were docile, there were also frequent times of hysterical or often violent behavior, which is dangerous for all parties. It is my opinion that as the CNAs that I worked with and myself could have benefited from additional training in which to give us better tools for the situations we faced. After working in the dementia wing and seeing what I witnessed, I changed my path and went into the dermatology as a surgical assistant instead. I imagine that I'm not the first that this has happened to, and we have real needs for CNAs, especially in my area. So being discouraged due to a lack of training in this field is a real shame. It is my hope that in the future we can offer more programs to those who need it the most.
Thank you very much, Ms. Townsend. I see no – oh, I do see a question from Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Townsend. I was wondering – perhaps you said it, I just didn't hear. Where did you do your CNA training? I'm curious where these programs are in Alaska.
I did it here in Soldotna at our local college, the KPC.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Young.
Thank you. Through the chair, right now, currently, how much training is required? And then what would this bill do? How would it change it?
I just wanted to verify this question is to me.
Yes, Ms. Townsend.
The training that was required, I'll be honest, it was a while ago that I did this. So I don't remember the exact length. I think I did about 6 months of training. Now, that might have changed. And then I apologize, what was the follow-up question to that?
I was just wondering what the current training to be a CNA is and then what the goal is to get it to. So what the change would be.
Oh, I would love to see more of behavior, because very specifically, me and the ones that had done the training beside me, we knew how to do perineal care. We knew how to flip someone. We knew how to change, shower. We knew how to feed. We knew a lot of these behaviors, but when there's physical interactions or how to calm someone down when they're having behaviors, these things were not discussed. And so when I did deal with those head on, I was not prepared for that. That is what my goal would be, is to see more of that, because I do have friends who actually did continue still in the CNA. And from my understanding, that did not go further. But from my personal experience, it did deter me from going any further into the CNA.
Thank you very much, Ms. Townsend. We appreciate your testimony today. Next up, Michelle Cassano. Ms. Cassano, welcome to Senate Labor and Commerce. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair and Member of the Committee. My name is Michelle Cassano, and thank you for hearing from me today. I, until recently, lived in Anchorage, and in the 45 years I spent there, I'm familiar with urban and rural care as I began my nursing career in Nome. I'm retired now, and I support Senate Bill 103. I care deeply about quality dementia education and person-centered training to CNAs because my husband, Larry, deserves better care. He had Alzheimer's, and we had to make the difficult decision at some point to put him in a facility in Anchorage. It was a respected facility, a high quality, and but their staff was very new and very uneducated about dementia and personal-centered care. Subsequently, when he would have an episode of confusion or something during the night, I have to say almost on a monthly basis, he was unnecessarily transported to emergency services. And, of course, once they reach the emergency room, the doctors have no choice but to go through their standards of care, which averaged close to $14,000 per visit. And that is up and above, you know, the cost of facility care. Much of this time, it was late or in the middle of the night. He didn't need emergency care. He was exhibiting normal, non-emergency dementia behaviors and needed to be distracted, perhaps fed, and put back to bed. The lack of concise quality, not necessarily quality education, but education for handling behaviors and such, it was just not there. And this leads to a burden in the emergency room, a poor use of resources, and it's terribly upsetting to the patients and family, never mind to the CNAs who may or may not continue this career based on their frustration with the workforce. CNAs trained in dementia care can effectively manage challenging behaviors and ensure the safety and security of our loved ones. The educational content outlined in the Senate bill would give families peace of mind knowing that their family member is in capable hands, even in difficult situations. They should be able to recognize early signs of cognitive decline. This enables timely interventions and support services, be it changing medications, changing locations. There's lots of very simple methodology that can be used. Hopefully to slow the progression of the dementia. I was later able to move my husband into a facility that was a little smaller, and the staff was a little better trained and had some experience under their belt. Even when he would lay down on the floor, was tired, they let him rest. They helped him avoid falls, gave him the personal care he needed, 2 years at the same facility without one hospital visit. The CNAs are an important, integral part of our healthcare team, and all the Alaska CNA programs should cover personal-centered care, signs and symptoms of dementia, and content on responding to challenging dementia-related behaviors, even not only for the patient's safety, but for their safety. And so I thank you today for hearing my story. I also would just like to add that there are many facilities, entities, and organizations, such as the Alzheimer's Association, that provide much of this training, even for commit, because they also have to do continuing ed. You know, these resources are available, but without this legislation, we have no way to make sure that people are consistently trained and everyone is on an equal playing field. Thank you for hearing my testimony today.
Thank you, Ms. Cassano. We appreciate you sharing your personal experience. And now we do have Kay Papacristo online. She's the Outreach Director of the Alzheimer's Resource in Anchorage. Ms. Papacristo, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Yes, thank you. My name is Kate Papacristo, and I am with Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. Our organization serves Alaskans statewide with offices in Anchorage, Matsu Valley, and Fairbanks, providing education, support, and advocacy for individuals, families, and providers, as well as communities affected by Alzheimer's disease and related dementia. And I'm going to speak to it today. I'm just going to call it all dementia as an umbrella term. And I am here to speak today in strong support of Senate Bill 103, which will help ensure that certified nurse aides across Alaska receive essential dementia training. The importance of dementia training is something many of us come to learn through personal experience. Prior to working with our agency, one of our ARA team members had her parents in two different dementia care homes. her parents required about the same level of care, and in both settings, the CNAs were reported to be kind, caring, and deeply committed to their work. But the difference in the quality of care was profound. In one home, the father was treated with dignity, largely because his dementia care needs and challenges were anticipated. In the other home, lack of dementia understanding and training led to missigns, misinterpreted behavior, and unnecessary stress. And that wasn't just for the mother, but for the other residents and the staff as well. Speaking of staff, I was invited to observe a VA hospital where young CNAs and nurses on a dementia wing were feeling overwhelmed and unsafe. Many of the veterans on this wing were living with dementia alongside other complex conditions like PTSD, which can make things even more complex. With proper dementia training, CNAs can anticipate needs, respond with confidence, and create a calmer, more supportive environment. Good training doesn't just help the CNAs feel more prepared. It ensures that they are safer, more capable in their roles, and recognized as essential members of the care team. These stories, while brief, are not isolated, and they reflect an important statewide need. SB 103 is a simple, cost-effective, and meaningful step in the right direction. It supports our CNA workforce by giving them what they need to succeed. It strengthens our healthcare systems, supports those who provide direct care, and it honors the people for whom they care, which is why we are all here. Thank you for your time and consideration of this vital bill. I sincerely hope you'll move it forward without obstruction. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Papacristo. We appreciate you calling in and testifying today. That is our final testifier. I will note that we do have Ms. Sylvan Robb from the Corporation of Business and Professional Licensing with us again here in Senate Labor and Commerce for any questions that the committee may have. Seeing none, Senator Gray Jackson, do you have any closing comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. I just want to thank you for hearing this bill, and I look forward to this very important legislation moving forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. And we will now set this bill, Senate Bill 103, aside for further consideration. We'll take a brief at ease. Senate Labor and Commerce back on the record at 2:20 p.m. Next, we have Senate Bill 49, Workplace Violence Protective Orders. With us today for a presentation of the bill is Honorable Senator Matt Clayman's staff, Brianna Kakarak. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you introducing the bill. If you could place yourself on the record and begin your presentation.
Good afternoon, Chair Merrick and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, I am Brianna Kakarak, staff to Senator Matt Clayman, who represents District H in West Anchorage. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 49 today. A few years ago, a member of the legal community contacted our office about a situation where a former employee made a credible threat that he intended to go into the employer's work site and shoot as many people as he could. When the attorney representing the employee tried to obtain a restraining order, she realized that to protect the employer, she would need to file a civil lawsuit and ask for a temporary restraining order. That process takes several days to complete and often costs thousands of dollars. In contrast, people seeking a domestic violence protective order can usually get the court order within one day. Senate Bill 49, modeled after Alaska's domestic violence protective order process, allows an employer to file a petition for a protective order against an individual under two circumstances. First, an individual has committed an act of violence against an employer or employee at the workplace. And second, an individual made a threat of violence against the employer employee that may be carried out at the workplace. A violation of the provisions of the protective order would be the crime of violating a protective order, which is a Class A misdemeanor. Senate Bill 49 will prohibit attorney fees awarded against the petitioner in domestic violence, restraining order proceedings, stalking and sexual assault protective orders, and ex parte protective orders. We work closely with the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault on our legislation last year that is now Senate Bill 49 to ensure that this legislation provides employers with a more effective way to protect their workplace without reaching into the personal lives of their employees. 11 states have laws providing for this issuance of protective or restraining orders that are specific to the workplace violence. Utah is the most recent addition to this list, which passed a workplace violence protective order law in 2023. And if the committee would like, I am also available to provide a sectional analysis.
Are there questions for Ms. Kakarak? I see none. We will move to your invited testifiers. First in the room, we have Ms. Brenda Stanfill. Welcome to the committee. If you could place yourself on the record and begin your testimony. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being invited. Brenda Stanfill, I'm the executive director of the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. It's good to be here today. The network, we're located here in Juneau, but we represent statewide 24 member organizations that provide direct services every day for the safety and support of victims of domestic violence, stalking, sexual assault, and dating violence. They're both in regions and sub-regions of our state. At first, when we first started setting up these kind of programs, it was regional, and we found that oftentimes it's very hard to get to that region. So now we have regional centers, and we also have sub-regional centers within those regions. We have actually 19 programs who are in rural Alaska, and 16 of those programs are off the road system. So we really appreciate the opportunity to talk about how Senate Bill 49 and the Workplace Violence Protective Order can help us in this work and be another tool that we have available in protecting those that we serve and also those who work for us who help protect those we serve. Oftentimes, it may not be safe for somebody who comes into a shelter to actually go get a protective order because maybe they feel it puts them more at risk. But sometimes the organization is still not safe without some kind of protective order keeping someone away. This would give the opportunity for the organization, if they felt there was a credible threat to the organization, to that location, to be able to get the protective order without ever even having to disclose if the person was staying there. And sometimes that is the situation, is that person who is very upset that maybe they think these organizations are helping someone that they've harmed, they may be going after that organization, but that organization may not even be providing any services. So this does provide just one more tool. Oftentimes it can be very scary. I'll give an example of Emonic. You'll hear from one other program, but Emonic shared how they had a person who would stand just outside the property line, so there was nothing they could do for trespassing because they weren't technically trespassing, and they would yell things that weren't necessarily a threat, but definitely the things they were yelling, you knew they were upset at the staff. And that's a very small community, and it was very scary, and there was nothing they could do about it. So this would give them the ability to then step in and put that together as to what that looks like in that threatening behavior and be able to get a protective order that is right now not available to them. So we thank you very much for your consideration of this, and I'm always available for any questions you may have after this.
Thank you. I do not see any questions. We appreciate you being here today and the good work and very important work that you do. Our next invited testifier is Ms. Eileen Arnold in Bethel. Welcome to the committee. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Eileen Arnold, and I'm the executive director at the Tundra Women's Coalition in Bethel. I support SB 49, the Workplace Violence Protective Order Bill, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify. Workplaces like TWC that house and hide victims of violence from those that would hurt them are sometimes directly threatened for that reason. And we need tools like this to protect ourselves and everyone who might be living where we work. Brenda spoke in general about a lot of the things that I'm going to say, you know, that I'm going to give particulars about. In the 10 years that I've been director at TWC, there haven't been many occasions where I've directed our staff to be on high alert concerning who's in and around the building. But the times that we have had to do that, they've been really memorable. Like, I remember a situation where a woman came from a remote village and her abuser followed her to Bethel, which is difficult. It's a couple $100 and a plane ride to get to Bethel, and he was searching for her. Bethel's a small town, so he eventually learned that she was staying at TWC, and he'd follow her when she went out with her children to the grocery store or whatever. I intercepted him one time. She had her child in a stroller, and he was holding onto the stroller and wouldn't let her go up the ramp to TWC's door. I heard her shouting at him to let her go from my office, and I went outside to investigate. I stood on the top of our stairs to keep distance from him and told him I was calling the police. He didn't leave, so I did call the police, and he didn't leave until we heard the police sirens coming up our street. At the time, I remember thinking, this is a dangerous guy. Usually when I threaten to call the police, that's enough to get people to leave our property, but not that guy. Later, a couple days later, she came into the shelter and told staff that he had threatened to go get his gun so that he could shoot her and then burn TWC down. In our region, buildings do burn down. We all have kind of, especially in the village communities, there's limited access to fire stations. It's usually the community that has to step in. Schools burn down, houses burn down, people die there. It's a credible threat, and it's something that in this region is very frightening to us. And she never did get a protective order against him. For the reasons that Brenda said, I'll emphasize, victims of violence sometimes don't get protective orders for a variety of reasons. They don't trust local law enforcement. They don't think a protective order will keep them safe. They've had a protective order that never got served, so now they don't trust the system anymore. They don't want a protective order to help a perpetrator narrow down where they might be staying, and even sometimes they're not ready to be done with the relationship, even though it's violent. Maybe they have kids that they need to communicate about or something like that. That was a situation where I could have used a workplace protective order to keep my 25 staff and the other 40 residents safe from this person. I don't know how much that was a credible threat to burn down our facility, but like I said, in this region, buildings are burned down. It is definitely a way that people harm each other out here. And the fear that our staff and our other residents went through at the time was significant. I know from some village shelters, the same deal, just like what Brenda said about the community in Mnemonic. Programs like ours need to have some resources to set boundaries on people who use violence, to send the message that it's not okay, and also very simply to protect everyone who's living and working in our buildings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. We appreciate you testifying today. Are there any questions from the committee? We do have the wonderful Nancy Mead from the Alaska court system with us today, but I see no questions. Ms. Kakarak, do you have any closing comments for Senator Klayman at this time?
I just want to thank you for hearing the bill today.
Thank you very much. With no further questions, we will set Senate Bill 49 aside. The committee will not meet this Friday, but will meet again next week, and the schedule will be coming out tomorrow. I would like to extend an especially warm, happy Administrative Professionals Day to all of our fantastic staff. They are much more than that. With no further business to come before the committee, we are adjourned at 2:30 p.m.